Welcome. I am Mark Berkler, and it's a real honor today to introduce you to Lyle Thomas. He has been a longtime friend, been a CLU student, and a missionary to Russia for many, many years. He's currently in Russia right now, and I'm excited to talk to him about how he learned to hear God's voice, how he's teaching it in Russia, what's going on in Russia, so we can all get a firsthand perspective of Russia. So those are all topics that we want to cover. So Lyle, welcome to the interview today.
Thanks. I'm really looking forward to talking.
How many years have we known each other? Do you have any idea?
I think it was around 2008 or 9 that we connected. After I had moved to Russia here in 2007, and that's sort of part of the story I was thinking of telling today, was because I had learned about hearing God's voice probably 20 years ago, started doing it, and it was amazing for me, but I must have missed the moment, the idea about having some spiritual mentors, and I started getting some weird stuff, and I didn't know what to do with it, so I just sort of quit the whole thing. But I moved here to Russia, and at some point I said, I need to get this back. And I contacted you about translating the materials. And you not only gave me permission, but having heard my story, you said, well, let me help you personally through this stuff. And that's how it all began.
Well, that's wonderful. So what's been the impact of mastering the four keys? You know, I agree. A lot of people miss a piece along the way, and then it kind of fall away from it because they didn't own one of the pieces of the four keys or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so that's been your testimony too. And that's very common for people to hear. So once you've got everything working, how is it working in your life? And as you teach it in Russia, how's it working there too?
Well, it was earth shattering for me, really. I remember I've always been I related to you in so many ways because of this whole left brain, right brain stuff. I'm one of those kind of guys that stayed up in my head. And not only was it helpful for me of course, just hearing God in general is earth shattering, but also helped me expand my understanding of myself and be in touch with myself. And later on, I went through the increasing the anointing course. And I just love that, for the ability to learn how to be in touch with how the Spirit actually moves on you physically, things like that. So it's been revolutionary for me in more than just the obvious ways.
Okay. So as you taught it in Russia, how did that work out? Did Russians receive it? Did they reject it? Are they going good with it, struggling with it? What's going on there?
Well, it's let me tell you about it this way. It's been well received, and it has had the same kinds of impact that you've had everywhere, of course. And yet at the same time, there's just like with anywhere, of course, there's going to be some circles of the church that receive it more than others, and some that haven't. Overall, there's a conservatism here that in some ways is good, in some ways, of course, holds them back. And we could go into that more if you were interested later. But the point is here that it's been a slow growth, and at the same time, I feel like it's picking up momentum more recently. And part of that has to do with this new partnership with Dennis Kozlov that you know about. He's been expanding. He's got a good reach because he's more of a dynamic leader. And so now we're starting to partner with him and reach more people in the Russian speaking world. And some of my strengths he doesn't have, some of his strengths I don't have. And so it's been a good place. But we're starting to see real enthusiasm for this thing, and it's an exciting time right now because people are realizing that that's an important part of their Christian relationship. Our whole ministry is founded on the premise that the relationship with God and relationship with others in the body of Christ are the foundations of Christianity. And it's like the idea of actually relating to God is starting to, people are starting to realize, oh, that is important. You know, they thought they had a relationship just because they read the Bible, but now it's more than that.
Mm-hmm. So is the fact that there's a war going on, is that changing, is that producing a deeper hunger in people at all? Or are you seeing any change in their spiritual attitudes as a result of this whole war that's been going on for a couple of years now?
That's a hard one to answer. It's probably easier to answer if I were sitting in Ukraine right now. I think there's been a lot going on over there spiritually, as you can imagine, both good and bad. But there's been a lot of, you know, trauma. We're going to be picking up the pieces of that puzzle for a long time, and we need not just regular kinds of counseling, but supernatural ministry over there. And I think there has been an accompanying hunger over there. In Russia, it's a different story because it doesn't affect everybody as directly. You know, of course, Russia's lost plenty of young men too in this war, just like Ukraine. And so the impact is kind of isolated to those areas. It seems as though there's something that's shifting. I don't know how much it's related to the fact that there's a war going on, or just that it's sort of parallel to that, or what. I don't have the perfect handle on it, but it feels like there's something changing here, which relates to actually the topics we were going to talk about. It's as though the gospel is now being more readily received to some extent.
Yeah. Well, why don't you get into that and tell me what you're sensing about the spirit in the church and where they're at right now in Russia?
As far as the church is concerned, one thing that's encouraging me is a general openness to not just hearing God, but the idea of God as Father. This is a message that I carry in my ministry and have for a long time now. And now I feel like I'm hearing that kind of message a lot more. I'm not saying that I'm taking credit for that, but others are getting more into that message. It's been around in the American church for a while, but it's slower to, a lot of things come over here with a big delay. And so that's one thing that's encouraging is relating to God as Father, and the idea of, as we teach, that we're apart from our relationship with God, we're spiritual orphans. And sometimes we act like that, even though we're not, of course, really that. So I see that giving the church more of a healthy approach to life and Christianity and in relating to others outside the church, because it's not so, you know, legalistic. It's not, they're starting to slowly shed this idea that the church needs to be cloistered in its own place because, you know, the world's going to affect us and we got to be real, you know, braced against the effects of the world, which was actually needed back in the Soviet days because there was so much persecution going on. That was my original interest in the church was because they had the ability to stand against the Goliath kind of thing. But now they don't need that in this kind of day. What they need is to get out there and actually influence the culture. And I was there's one young lady that I'm mentoring that's part of this new movement of just really wild and crazy young people for Christ that they're just getting out there and going to the parks, get out on the streets, and it's an interdenominational movement. And they're just praying for people. They see miracles happen. They get words of knowledge. They get all this stuff, and they're less focused now on the idea of we got to get people into the church. They're just telling people about Jesus, and they're just blessing them, praying over them, whatever it takes. And there's an energy in that. Then I didn't see that a few years ago.
Wow,
and that's really encouraging.
It's very encouraging. And we're seeing that in America too, that we're getting the church outside the walls. Some people are, at least, and they are on the streets, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, laying out of hands, miracles, healing, deliverance. So miracles, healing, deliverance, all of that would be a part of what they're doing out there in the street, as far as you can tell?
Yes, yes, it is. It's
well, that's, really that's very healthy. That's very exciting. That should bring transformation to the nation of Russia, I would think.
It's the mustard seed, right? It's going to start small and it's going to accumulate and have an overwhelming mass.
Right. Well, that's something that we can definitely agree with you in prayer, for the Spirit of God to just be poured out on Russia and cause this revival to spread. And of course, hearing God's voice is what brings revival in people's hearts. That's what gives them the chance to have a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, and believe for miracles and healing. So we're just going to pray, and I'm encouraging those who are watching to pray for Lyle Thomas and to pray for his missions work in Russia and to pray for God to pour his Spirit out so that this thing on the streets just continues to grow like crazy. So Lyle, what would you like us to know? What are some of the misconceptions that we in America may have about Russia that you would not mind clearing up? I do see that you're in a pretty decent house there. It's got doors and windows, and it's got doors and a nice picture. And, you know, some of our pictures of Russia is it's kind of really slummy, but tell us what you'd like us to know about Russia that we maybe don't know.
When my parents-in-law came to visit us several years ago, they were shocked because we have a nice apartment, but you don't know that from the outside. In America, you've got these different neighborhoods. You know, this is the nice neighborhood, this is the ghetto, and all this kind of stuff. Over here, from the street, you can't tell. Everybody lives in the same place. So you walk in a building, and it's kind of junky and dirty, and there's smoke. You feel smoke in the stairwell, and the paint's peeling off the wall because that's common property, right? But then you open the door to the apartment. And it could be a very, very base kind of poor man's house, or it could be, you know, a veritable mansion on the inside. So that's kind of a neat thing too, because it keeps you a little more in touch with real people on the streets and whatnot. So that's one difference right there. But the main misconceptions I tend to run into, you know, because I'm over in the States periodically and talking to trying to raise support and have churches that support me and things like that. But it's been a little more difficult lately because even my home church where I grew up has been kind of negative. And ever since the war started, it's like, oh, evil Putin, you know, he's the worst guy since Hitler and all that kind of stuff. Whereas, you know, he's been around for a long time. Why did you finally decide he's a bad guy now? And of course he's got his issues like anybody else, but it's this extreme bias that Russia bad, Ukraine good, when it just never works that way, right? There's evil on both sides of the coin, but it's like there's no openness to hearing what Russia's side of the story is, which is why it was important that Tucker Carlson did his interview recently. Whether you agree with the guy or not, it's at least it's an opportunity to hear. And that's that. What if we as Christians aren't willing to do that? We're not doing our job very well if we're not creating, you know, an atmosphere for listening, so that God can speak through that. But I had somebody in my own home church say to me, you know, I think you need to find yourself another mission field. And I said, oh, really? Have you been hearing God for me? Tell me what you think God is telling me to do. And because I said, oh, really? Do we serve and ministry those that are already good? What's the criteria for being in missions?
Yeah, you got to have a good, righteous president first, then you can go to the country.
Yeah, right? Yeah. If they were all saved, then I could come here, I guess. I don't know what the logic is supposed to be. The other misconceptions that people have is they're like, so is it bad over there? What? No, economically things are pretty fine. They've had their inflation in the last couple of years, just like over there. joblessness is not any more of an issue here than pretty much anywhere. So I just don't feel the impact on the economy and the way people talk and complain, like, oh, I can't find a job or stuff like that. So Russia's humming along fine, and these sanctions haven't really done anything. In fact, if anything, they've made Russia stronger, because Russia's literally physically the richest country in the world, because it's got so much here. And they were too dependent on outside sources. Now they're realizing we just need to buckle down and use what God has given us here to build up our own strength. Mm-hmm. Is that good or bad? Well, I think it's good.
It's a good message for America to hear also, I would think.
There's that too.
Yeah. So did you by any chance then watch Tucker's interview with Putin for like an hour or so?
Sure.
What was your impression of the interview? And what is your impression of Putin? I mean, you've been in Russia how many years now?
17.
So what has been your experience with Putin? Has he been ruthless? Has he been destructive? Has it been good for the country? I sent you yesterday a couple of videos that Tucker took on the subway in Moscow in a supermarket, and they were both exquisite, way beyond anything I've seen in America. Blew my mind. So I ask you, hey, is this reality over there? And so come on, answer some of these questions for me and for others, would you please?
There's, of course, when it comes to things like grocery stores, you've got the gamut. You got stuff that's just as nice as any, you know, upscale grocery stores here. You got local corner stores that, you know, the winos come and buy from. But I'll say this, speaking of winos and whatever on the street, I actually stopped last night and spoke with a homeless guy for a while and thought about it afterwards. That you don't walk around here. We used to send our kids out, you know, when they were young, whenever they needed to. I mean, not too young, but, you know, age 10 or 11 or where they could go out into the city and go wherever they needed to by themselves, because you never think about there being any danger. Russians can be, you know, dishonest on paper, you know, trying, you know, there might be some of this under the cover stuff and other sort of soft crime, but there's never any of that physical stuff pretty much going on here. So that's one big difference. Yes, the metro in Moscow is amazing. But not all of, you know, there's like 100 different stations, but it's some of the older ones that are really amazing. And the same thing is true here to a lesser extent. And I'm in St. Petersburg. Several of the stations are just like, wow, you know, you enjoy just being there. So there's a lot of wealth here. Now the biblical principle is, help me remember the verse. It's something like the wealth of a man is hard to get to without his being having wisdom. There's a proverb like that says something like that. I don't remember the exact quote, but it's that I think that's as true of Russia as anywhere. That they need the wisdom of God to be able to access all of this wealth that's here. So that one of the reasons I'm here, I believe that Russia has a huge calling on itself. There's never been a reformation in Russia like there was in Europe. And if that ever really releases its power, then it's going to release economic potential. And I feel like Russia is on the economic rise anyway. But my biggest concern for Russia is that they not take their place on the world stage without having that spiritual foundation. They need a revival of sorts or a reformation, whatever we might want to call it, so that they fully come into their place with God. This is another sort of bias some people have. Sometimes people look at Russia and think, well, they're actually the godly country and America's the not godly country. Well, I don't know how to answer that. That's a mixed bag, because of course there's some of both in each cases. And sometimes I enjoy the fellowship I have with Russian Christians more than I do with American Christians, because they're so hungry for God and they're so deep in their love for the word and all that kind of stuff. But on a whole basis, Russians are just sort of nominally, right? Nominally Orthodox at best. And that means that there's no real engagement with spiritual life. However, there's a hunger for God, and there's an openness that I don't see in America among the general public. And a number of people have told me that they feel like there's this openness in society for understanding how does the Bible, because they don't get access to the Bible in Orthodox churches. They're just sort of, you know, they go to church, it's a formality and that kind of thing. But what does the Bible have to say about real life? There's actually an openness there that I want to also be able to move into and take advantage of to show, hey, the Bible actually has real answers to real problems.
So they need a reformation, they need a revival and a reformation. Obviously, America's had several throughout our history. We need another one right now today. I think we're going to get another one right now. I think the church is praying fervently for that to happen. I surely am. And I suppose that's what needs to happen in Russia too, a fervent intercession for revival and reformation in the country. Because as you say, does it have the biggest land mass of any nation in the world? I think it might. Is that possibly true? Yes.
By far.
By far. And maybe the biggest population. I don't even know the population numbers in Russia.
No, it's not nearly the biggest population. There's only about 130 million people here. It's very spread out.
Okay, so we do have more than Russia does, but you take a country that big with 130 million people, man, if revival and reformation could sweep it, its power to impact the world would be awesome. So I trust you've got some intercessory groups over there praying for that, or here in America praying for that. Are you aware of any intercessory groups who've made that a focus?
As a focus, no, it's needed. I mean, of course, there are groups over here that pray, but in terms of over in America, no. Which, you remind me, can I tell you a story about Hudson Taylor?
Sure, go ahead.
Now, of course, you know, well, not everybody knows who Hudson Taylor is, but I'm sure you do. He's the famous missionary to China back in the late 1800s. One of the pioneers that opened up China to Christianity. And I heard this story after I'd even moved here, and it's really impacted me, because you don't think of Hudson Taylor. He was kind of a little more of a, you know, from the traditional church background, but he was in England where he came from, speaking at a church one time in the early, I believe the early part of the 20th century. And all of a sudden he stopped and looked down at he paused and then he paused again, as I understand it. And then he, and I don't have all the words for it, but he all of a sudden got this download from God of a prophecy. He saw, he said, I see that there's coming a worldwide war. And then after that, there's going to be another one, as though a continuation of the first one. And then there's going to be times and troubles and all this kind of stuff. And then there's going to be this revival that comes out of Russia and is going to pour out and reach the rest of the world. And I thought, wow, that's amazing.
So those first two wars were World War I, World War II then probably?
Obviously what that means, and that gives the legitimacy for what comes after that.
Right. So a great revival.
He said it decades before those happened. So it's amazing.
All right. So the first two parts of that prophecy have come to pass. We're waiting and ready and expectant for the third part to come to pass, which is a great revival to pour out of Russia and touch the world.
Mm-hmm. That's the idea.
We need to, I just want to put out a call to anyone who's watching this video interview, that you participate in praying, and I will participate in praying. And I think we should pray before we close this interview for the spirit of revival to descend upon Russia and for it to come alive to the Holy Spirit. So, matter of fact, can I just pray that right now?
Please.
So, Father, we just thank you for this prophetic word that was given decades and decades ago. And Lord, we thank you that the truth of it has already been evidenced by the first two wars having been fulfilled. And Lord, now the peace to be fulfilled is a pouring out of your spirit upon Russia, the Russian people, and a revival to spring forth from Russia that touches the world. So, Lord, we come into agreement with your prophetic word that you have spoken many years ago, and we speak revival to the nation of Russia. We speak an outpouring, a tremendous outpouring of your spirit, of the Holy Spirit, upon the land, upon the people, that the hunger that you've placed in their hearts would be fulfilled by an awakening of their spirits to the voice of God, the vision of God, the power of the Spirit. And Lord, that revival would sweep the streets of Russia, and Russia would be transformed by that and transform the world. So, Father, we speak that into existence as your will. We call it forth now in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for it. We thank you for it. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Wow. Lyle, thank you for sharing what's going on in Russia. Before we close, is there anything more you'd like to say to us on the interview or to the American church? If so, let me know what it is.
Well, that's a big order. What do I want to say to the American church?
Just to us as listeners, anything you want to say to us before we close, close off?
Probably not, except that it's enjoyable to talk about these things. Sometimes you get in a ministry like this, you get in the weeds and you're focused on the day-to-day stuff, and you've helped me zoom out and remember there's a big picture here that we forget when we're in the woods, and so I've appreciated your calling that out, for remembrance to put before God.
Praise God. Well, Lyle, it's great to spend some time with you in this interview. Let me just ask you, would you enjoy it if I put your email address underneath this when we post it, so if people want to contact you and pray for you and stuff like that, they could? Would that be helpful, or do you already get way too many emails?
I don't get that many. It's fine. Thank you.
That'd be okay. All right. All right. Well, Lyle, we will pray for you. We agree to pray, and I will pray for you on a regular basis and for Russia. And thank you again so much for giving us this interview and giving us an inside look from a missionary in Russia. So bless you, and we will say goodbye for now.
All righty. Goodbye.